I'm from Costa Rica in Latin America, Central America. And I'm here with my wife and my kids, Patricia, Priscilla, and Jose. You know, my beautiful family, my kids, they have been our partners for their entire life serving in missions. And by God's grace, we are serving in a Latino American missionary society whose passion is to see church planting and evangelism and mercy ministries among Muslims. And as you may imagine, my mother tongue is Spanish, so I promise that I'm going to destroy your language during the next 40 minutes. So just please forgive me. I was remembering in 1982, 1984, when I came to Jesus in Latin America. And at that time, it was pretty rare to be a Protestant believer, if I may say. When I came to Jesus, my mom, my family, my dad, they were so scared having a member of the family following a cult, you know? In Costa Rica, during that time, being an evangelical believer means to be a kind of Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormon or something in between. So it was quite difficult for a family. But when you may think what have been happening in Latin America since then is just amazing. About, you know, the numbers are quite difficult to share. It's difficult to have a precise measuring of what has been happening in Latin America, but about 100 million Latin Americans today confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So it's been an outstanding change in our side of the world. Might be the fruit of the missionary work for about 100 years, receiving missionaries in our lands. When I was a teenager, it was very common to see American missionaries destroying Spanish in San Jose. So now it's your turn for the jokes. Because I did many jokes about American missionaries in San Jose, and I have enjoyed every one of those. No. In 1987, suddenly, we realized that might be the Latin American church could join you, the U.S. church and the European church, to do missions, to preach the gospel that we have received in different lands. So we gathered for a week in Brazil, Sao Paulo, in that year. 3,500 believers from all over Latin America. And we were praying about if the Lord was blessing in growing our church, if that might be meaning that the time for us to be part of the global missionary force was coming at that time. So we pray a lot. We were hearing reports from all over the world. And by the end of the week, we were praying before the Lord. Might be is the time for Latin America to be not just a missions field, but becoming a missions force. And from that time, many Latin American believers have been joining the forces in many places. The Muslim world has been in our scope since the very beginning. Muslims have lived in Spain for 800 years. We have names and last names that are closely related with that past and heritage. Even our last name, Matamoros. Matamoros is a pretty funny last name for a family dedicated to reach out Muslims. Mata in Spanish means something like to kill somebody. And Moros means Muslims. So we are the Muslim killer family. Nice to meet you. So we were living in Spain for 9 years. And every time that I was crossing the border between Spain and Morocco, crossing the Gibraltar Stretch, or whatever. Yes, thank you. And facing the Moroccan authorities, always, it was jokes from them. There was jokes from them. So, about our last name. And I just remembering the police telling me, are you going to kill me? And something like that in Morocco. But we don't kill Muslims. We love Muslims. I'm pretty aware that every day the news are showing us the real things happening in the Muslim world. Today, in Kenya, in Nairobi, that's something terrible happening. Because a terrorist group have been kidnapping a group of people. Maybe 40 have died the last 2 days, and there's more than 100 still under their hands. Yes, that's terrible. But Muslims represent 1.5 billion people in the world. Some of them are very violent and terrible. But many, many of them are so tired about violence. Many, many of them are realizing that it has to be a different way. And many of them are very open to understand that Jesus Christ is more than a prophet. And many, many of them are joining the Church of Christ in those lands. So when you may see the news, and then you might be visiting northern Morocco among the Rifi Berbers, that few weeks ago they were worshiping Allah and following the Muhammad the prophet, but now, all together, these Rifi Berbers, one Argentinian missionary and myself, sat down, raising our hands and confessing Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is the Son of God. It's just amazing, my dear friends, to hear them worshiping the name of the Lord Jesus. It's just amazing. Amazing what is being happening among them. I just want to show you a video clip, maybe 4 minutes. I guess some of you already have seen the video, but even though we want to share this with you now. Thank you, brother.
to be achieved. I want to be more than someone who just passes through this life. I want to stand up for what is right.
I love it every time that I say. So, yes. I remember some of my colleagues living in Tashkent, Uzbekistan for 15 years. And the way we did ministry there was sharing the beautiful language of Spanish among Uzbeki people. The question is, why Uzbekis want to learn Spanish? It's a mystery even for me. I really don't know. But we had a full house for 15 years teaching Spanish as a second language in Central Asia. And at the same time that we were sharing and teaching Spanish, we had a class called Latin American Culture. You have to see Uzbeki people in Central Asia, Muslims dancing salsa music from Puerto Rico or merengue music from Dominican Republic. And dancing merengue and dancing salsa music, we were sharing the gospel and we were planting churches in that way. So it's been just beautiful to see the connection among them and among us. Please open your Bible in Romans 15. And we're going to be reading and meditating from the verse 14 to the verse 24. And it's been a classic in missions. But it's been a very important passage in my life as well, in our lives. And again, I'm sorry for any kind of mistake. I have learned English in Boise, so if I do any kind of mistakes, your fault. So, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God so that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and to be helped on my journey there by you once I have enjoyed your company for a while. At this moment on Paul's life, he has never been before in Rome. So he has been aspiring to be there. But because he was so committed with what we call today the Middle East or the eastern part of the Roman Empire, he was not able to do it. He has been preaching the gospel all the way around from Jerusalem to Illyricum. And if you may have a picture of Illyricum, it might be just in front of the Italian peninsula, in places like the former Yugoslavia Republic. What he is saying is, it is just amazing. It's an enormous piece of land, what he is sharing about, that through his ministry or throughout the different teams that was or were related with the Paul, the apostle, is just an amazing extension of preaching. So, but Paul is feeling that the time for moving on is coming. And since he has been very related with the Antioch church, some scholars thought that might be Paul is seeking in Rome a new kind of sending base towards Spain. And at that time, Spain was the ends of the earth. We were living, my family and I, in Spain for some years. And I remember the very first time that someone told us about Finisterre. Finisterre is in the northeast part of Spain. Finisterre comes from Latin and very close to Spanish. Finis, in Latin and in Spanish, means ends. And terre or terrae means earth. So if you go to northeast of Spain, there's a city called Lugo, where you may see big Roman walls when they were delimitating the empire. And not so far from there is Finisterre Cape, or Cabo Finisterre, or the Cape of the Ends of the Earth. And I've been there with my wife. I'm like to be so romantic with my wife, so I took my wife to the ends of the earth. And Paul is just thinking about a new stage, a new chapter on his life. He has been fully committed on the eastern part of the Roman Empire, and now he's just ambitioning to preach the gospel to new places. I just want to share with you four thoughts this morning that has been part of my journey. And again, it comes from the Word. Number one is, I am impressed about, let me try to express in English. It was no doubt in Paul about, if I may say, the uniqueness of Christ. Do you understand what I mean? Christ was his main passion. Jesus was his, if I may say, his driving force. The reason why he has not been able to be in Rome yet is because he has been just completely devoted to preach the name of Jesus everywhere in the eastern part of the empire. He saw himself as a priest, doing ministry, presenting the Gentiles as an offering to God. That was his own perception of his ministry as a priestly duty, preaching the gospel to the Gentiles and take them before the Lord as an offering. There's no doubt in Paul about the role of Jesus. Jesus is the answer of everything. His passion and his personal, if I may say, driving force. And that has been, my friends, a passion in my heart. I'm from Latin America, but I am a Western believer. And if you go to the Muslim world, there's no space to have any doubt about who Jesus is. There's no place for doubts before Muslims about the uniqueness of Christ. Because they are going to be bombing every one of our definitions and perceptions and ideas about who Jesus Christ is. And they are doing this at the same time when the Western world entirely is doubting about Jesus. To be honest with you, it's easier for me to evangelize a Muslim from Morocco than an European fellow. I was living in Spain for 9 years, traveling very often to the North African region, trying to evangelize my neighbors in Granada, South Spain, where we used to live, was a difficult task Because nobody wants to talk about religion. That's a private stuff. And I don't remember, or I didn't remember the times that when my neighbors told me, Alan, I am so happy that you have found already your way, and now let me alone to find myself my own way. And that in some way describes what is happening in the Western world today, isn't it? And that's what our kids have been receiving from our schools in Latin America, in the States, and in Europe. And if you go to the Muslim world, this is a different approach, but it might be the same challenge. They are may saying the Trinity doesn't exist because God, Allah, didn't have sex with Mary. Jesus is just a pretty good prophet, but just this. And by the way, the last prophet is not Jesus, it's Muhammad. And you have changed the word of God. So there's no space to have doubts about the infallibility and the inerrancy of the Bible before Muslims. Infallibility? What a difficult word, isn't it? Infallibilidad. Even in Spanish, it's difficult to say. But we have to be completely sure about our convictions. So it's been our ambition to express with passion who Jesus is. Because at the very end of the day, our passion for Jesus is completely related with our evangelistic efforts. If we are totally convinced who he is, that's going to affect our missionary passion and our evangelistic commitments. So, living in Muslim lands, that has been an amazing challenge. I remember 2 or 3 years later, after the September 11 attacks, and during the time when the Muslims were kicking out a pretty large number of missionaries from Morocco. More than 150 missionaries were kicked out from Morocco years back. Some of them from our own institution mission. And we had the chair of my board and myself, we had an interview with one journalist from Al Jazeera. And by the way, I am so amazed that Al Jazeera is now broadcasting from American land. So, but this is a different topic, sorry. And that journalist was telling us that he was feeling ashamed that it was no religious freedom in Morocco. And he was telling us, if you want to see more freedom in Muslim lands, you might be to be able to negotiate your perceptions about Jesus. If not, it's going to be very difficult. And then he told me, Alan, what is your perception about Muhammad? And I said, well, Muhammad is your prophet. And he said, please don't be so Latin. I just want to know, what do you think about Muhammad the prophet? And I said, as I told you, he's your prophet, but he's not mine. And let me ask you something. What do you think about Jesus Christ? And he said, well, Jesus Christ is your prophet. And I said, now you are the Latin one. What do you think about Jesus? Well, he's so special, a good teacher. And I said, is he God, preexistent and divine? And he told me, let me tell you something, young man. You are a terrorist in that way. And I said, why? Because you are so fanatic about your position about Jesus. And if you don't change your perception, there's no room for you in the North African region. And I told him, I am not going to negotiate my perception about Jesus Christ. Jesus is divine, is God, and he is persistent. This is a very hot topic among Muslims. So number one is about, there's no room in Paul's mind, you know, he was totally persuaded about who Jesus is. That's why he defined himself as a priest before God, presenting the Gentiles or nations as an offering to God. That's number one. Number two, at that time, Paul didn't visit yet Rome. And then because he has his plans before Spain, he's going to be sharing with them what has been his ministry in the eastern part of the empire. And he said, I've been preaching, I've been showing by signs and wonders, I've been proclaiming the gospel everywhere. I have fully proclaimed the gospel from Jerusalem to Illyricum. My friends of Rome, this is my legacy. Legacy. And that's the second word for us today. It was a clear sense in Paul before the Roman church. This is my contribution. This is the reason why I was not being able to be in Rome yet. Because I've been investing my life, sharing the gospel all the way around between these two parts of the Roman Empire. In one word, this is my contribution for the glory of God. This is what I did during the last years. This is my legacy. Legacy. This is my contribution. And my friends, I am sometimes afraid if the Church of Jesus Christ globally is living in that way with a kind of passion for God, that we are living, pursuing His direction to our lives, to bring the gospel everywhere here in Boise or in the Muslim world, that by the end of our lives we could present our legacy for the glory of God before Him. Not because we need to do something to earn some points before the Lord, just our lovely response to a lovely God. Legacy. Legacy. So I just remember my family and I learning or destroying Arabic as well. We are mastering in how to destroy different languages. We were there in Rabat, Morocco, learning some Arabic. And we had a beautiful teacher, a lady who spoke Spanish at that time. And she was telling us, it's going to be easier for you Latin Americans to learn Arabic because we have some common words and letters and so on. For example, we have J, Jota in Spanish. And she said, let's practice the three kinds of Jotas or J's that we have in Arabic. And my wife and I, we were sat down there and she was saying, now, Jota or J, number one, Ha. Number two, Ha. Number three, Ha. And I said, Ha, Ha. I didn't understand anything. So I'm dealing with our kids. Jose Pablo was a baby. My daughter had 4 years old at that time, traveling all over around Morocco. And it was pretty tough. So, but just recently, that was more than 10 years ago, I was visiting southern Morocco and spending time with my good friend Mustafa in Tarudan, in the southern part of that country. And I was sat down there drinking delicious Moroccan tea and having couscous. Have you tasted couscous before? You don't know how it's food if you didn't taste couscous. So, and we were there, and by the way, I am left-handed. So, and in the Muslim world, the left hand is just used for very impure tasks. So, and then you don't use your left hand when you are eating with Muslims. So, and I was there very focused and don't use my left hand just because you use your left hand for going to. Okay, you know. So, and then we were sat down there with my wife, my kids, a beautiful couscous. It's a kind of, somebody help me. It's like grain with meat and vegetables and it's Moroccan spices and whatever, you know. Veggies or whatever. Beautiful. And then we were sharing with them, destroying, you know, salam alaikum, alaikum salam, alhamdulillah, barakalaufi, smacher, you know, toda esa cuestión, all of this. And then I was feeling so excited with our friend that I just forgot that I was left-handed. And suddenly I put my left hand over the couscous. The house was full of people, and when I put my left hand over the foot, it was a silence. And then the man of the house told me, "No, left hand, no in our house." And I said, "Oh, sorry, but I clean with my other hand. Sorry, you know." So that was terrible. But the point is that after all of this, after years serving in Morocco with my colleagues, ourselves, and others, I was with Mustafa in Taloudan last February. And we were talking, "Mustafa, how are things going on?" And he told me, "Alan, well, the Salafis, do you know what Salafis is? The fundamentalists have been threatening my kids, 10 years old. And I got some kidnapping amenazas, how do you say, threats against my 10 years old boy. But brother, let me tell you something. About 4,000 Moroccans have been joining the Church of Christ in the last 5 years. The local authorities believe that it's about 8,000, but it's not so much. But at least 4,000 Muslim Moroccans have been joining the church. And we are gathering all over around southern Morocco. And that was outstanding, my friends. When we were beginning in Morocco, some of my colleagues, 25 years ago, it was basically no churches in Morocco, 25 years ago. And now the Church of the Lord is just flourishing everywhere. And it's been just wonderful to have a little piece of legacy among these former Muslims. Do you understand what I mean? Legacy. Number 2, verse 20 and 21. That's a very well-known verses, and does say, "I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand." My third word is purpose. There's no legacy without the purpose. Purpose. The other version of the Bibles may use the word ambition, holy ambition. This has been my holy ambition, to preach the gospel where his name has not been preached yet. So he could offer a glorious legacy because he was living with a purpose, with a holy ambition, to preach the gospel in those places. So I remember when I was, my friends, 23 years ago, more or less. When I was 23, that was about 2 years ago. No, that was 20-something years ago. And I told my pastor in San Jose, Costa Rica, about going to Pakistan. That was our first love. My pastor was quite nervous, but he supported us to be in Pakistan. When I was landing in Pakistan, I had no word either in Urdu or either in English. And I just realized this when I was landing there. Very good planning from the Latin world. So when I was there, it was an American missionary expecting my arrival at Karachi International Airport, a beautiful brother in Christ. And he was talking with me. He was saying, Are you tired? Yes. Are you hungry? Yes. Are you stupid? Yes. I was just able to say yes and coffee and donuts. So, and we were traveling all over around Pakistan. When I got in Quetta, Baluchistan, discerning what the Lord is calling us to do. And then one American worker introduced me with Noor Baluch, a new believer from the Baluch people group. He was basically the only one believer in town. He was 21 years old, and he was at the university, at the medicine faculty. And my American fellow, he was quite old, living many years in Pakistan, told me, "Alan, this is your chance to share the gospel with a new believer in Muslim lands." So Noor didn't speak either Spanish or English, and I didn't speak English or Urdu. So we were destroying English together, so we become very close friends. We were together, my friends. I guess I already told you last time. Then he took me to the university, to his family, and I was so young. And I remember, I am a Latin American macho. You understand what I mean? Macho. So, and then when we were walking through one of the halls of the university, he took my hand like this. I guess I told you before. And when he took my hand, coming from the Latin world, I just felt electricity in my arms, you know. I was just, is this guy going through cultural ways or is he quite rare, you know? So, and then I was looking around if everybody was using man and man shaking hands, and I was just suspecting about my friend at that point. But then I realized that that was a cultural way to show appreciation. So we were with this guy, Noor, my friend, and myself, walking throughout the university. And I was just thinking, if my dad just see me in this position, you know. We became very good friends. But my point is, my friends, that the very last day I was telling Noor, the time to go back home is just here, Noor. And it's been a pleasure to be with you during the last few weeks. And suddenly, Noor was crying. And I didn't realize why. And then he told me, Brother Alan, I am just shaking, thinking the day when my family realized that I am not a Muslim believer anymore. And I was just scared about the day when the medicine faculty realized that I am not a Muslim believer anymore. I'm shaking about my family. So I have no words to tell you, Brother Alan, please don't go. Stay with me. Because what is going to be happening with me is going to be tough. Could you stay with me, please? But I was married with family in my home country. So, and I did something wrong. I promised him that I was able to go back to Pakistan soon. And it didn't happen, my friends. I've learned that time that it's pretty a mistake to offer quick promises. So, but I've been in touch with Noor Baluch over the years. And yes, I realized that he had a very tough time with his family, his university, getting a job. He was rejected by society. That in Muslim lands means to be almost dying, almost dead. How do you say? So it was difficult. But Noor Baluch pursued and persevered on his faith. He is still today a believer of Jesus. But that was tough. But that means to preach the gospel in places where his name is not known yet. And it's been our prayer that you, my friends, and might be the Latino church could offer something among them. And after talking about the uniqueness of Christ, about legacy and purpose, my last point is about verse. Let's read together 22, from 22 to 24. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. I've been spending my life in the eastern part of the empire, sharing the gospel from Jerusalem to Illyricum. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, but many of those churches were very young churches. But Paul just felt that there's no space for him in that place. Since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, the ends of the earth, and to be helped on my journey there by you. So the word help in Greek is propempo. It's a beautiful word, propempo. And I don't know how to express it in English, but it is, the idea is that Paul is not just going to Rome as enjoying life with Roman believers and then going by himself to Spain. What Paul is saying, I'm going to be passing through Rome and we are going to be going together to Rome. You know what I mean? It's not just about helping me with some offerings and gifts. It's a word that is, if I may say, an involving word, may I say? He is involving the church with him, aspiring that maybe someone might join him in this new task for his ministry. So my last word is partnership, my friends, and partnership that comes from the local church. Paul has been related with the Antioch church since the very beginning. In two of his missionary trips, he came back to Antioch to report to the believers what the Lord is going or is doing among the Gentiles. So it seems for a number of scholars that Paul was aspiring to involve the Roman church on this new task. It's a partnership, cooperation from the church. There's no way to do missions without the support of the local church. And it has been a big misunderstanding about the role of the missionary agencies. At the end of the day, we, the members of mission agencies, are church members. And God's calling is for the church, not and going through the mission agency. Do you understand what I mean? So the responsibility of finishing the task among every Muslim people group or every Orangish people group or every people who don't know yet Jesus belongs to the church. It relies here among us. Here at the church, there's human resources, financial resources, and different kind of resources to accomplish the task. It's our job to honor Jesus preaching the gospel everywhere. It's our job. It's our task. And when our time came up to Latin America, it was just an awakening. During the last 15 years, 20 years, about 20,000 Latin Americans have been going overseas to preach the gospel everywhere, joining you, my dear American fellows, everywhere. And when you got there in the Middle East, we live in Cyprus, close 65 miles from Syria, very close to Jordan, Israel, Egypt, or Turkey. And when you got there, nationalities doesn't care to anybody because Christians are so few. So I love to see a gringo face in the Middle East, I promise. And I say gringo with all of my love and respect. It's lovely to see African believers. I was with my daughter Priscilla 3 months ago in India, visiting Latino workers, preaching the gospel among Muslims in that country. There's 200 million Muslims in India. India is not just the home of Hindus. It's the third largest Muslim country in the world today. And I was with my daughter visiting friends and participating, and that's my last point about partnership, in a gathering. It was a beautiful picture, and I just want to share this with you. We were in New Delhi, about 20 believers and leaders. It was one American fellow, one Latino brother, and the rest of the participants, they were leaders from churches and national missionary agencies from Indonesia, India, Pakistan, Central African Republic, Gambia, Jordan, and others. All of them Muslim background believers. And we were sat down there, a gringo brother, a Latino brother, with about 20 Muslim background believers who are praying to reach out the rest of the Muslim world. And then, and the only one who really speak English as a first language was our American fellow. The rest of the group, we were enjoying the way we were destroying English together. No embarrassing problems about the language. We just sharing our few resources. The Indian fellows, what we are going to do to reach out together, this small expression of the the mosaic of the global church together. Is not that beautiful? I was sat down there just beside a brother from Gambia, a black brother from Gambia, and he was saying, we need more workers in Gambia. Could you, brother from India, could send workers to Gambia to help us? And then the Indian brother saying, could you, Latinos, could come to India to help us? And one brother from Indonesia saying, could you, Moroccan brothers, could you come to help us? It's not that beautiful. It was a time when missions was from the west to the rest. But in today's world, it's from the rest to the rest. The whole church accomplishing the task in partnership together. That's going to be difficult for you and for us. And let me be honest with you, it's quite difficult for some of the American institutions to understand that now the U.S. church is one among many after years leading everything. It's quite tough. I don't want to offend anybody. But it's been tough for Latinos and Africans to take some leadership responsibilities because we have some inferiority complex to achieve. Do you know what I mean? So, but when we sat down at the table of the Lord, we are one body with different colors, expressions, and different languages with just one thing in mind, that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father, that we want to build together a legacy before the Lord, and that legacy comes from our passion and our ambition to see every nation to be reached by the gospel in partnership. Local churches from different nations accomplishing the task. Amen. Hermanos. Let's pray together. That's going to be a bilingual prayer. God's understand me better in my language. Padre, en el nombre de Jesús, te adoro porque tú eres bueno y porque para siempre es tu misericordia. Gracias por tu iglesia en todas partes que se une para honrar tu nombre y alcanzar a los no alcanzados. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Thank you for Jesus who came to save us. We honor you, O Lord. You, Lord, you are the only way to the Father. And we realize that there's no other possibility for the humankind to pursue salvation without your name, O Lord Jesus. Please give us a holy ambition to invest our lives honoring you with holy lives and reaching out others with your gospel. Let visit us to bring passion to build a common legacy to honor your kingdom and your name. And visit us with renewing a spirit of unity among the global church with different colors and languages with just one thing in mind, to honor Jesus, to honor God, our Father, preaching his name among our neighbors in Boise, and among every nation of the world. We love you, Lord. Amen.